If you guys have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 8. And as you do, I'm going to pray for us today. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we just declare that we need you. Lord, we declare that every knee will bow and every heart every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask that you will come, that you will make us clean. Lord, as you did this leper that we're going to read about today, Lord, that you will speak to us. Lord, that you will allow us to, the healing that you gave us, that you will allow us to steward that gift, and that you will allow us to just come before you always and forever, needing to be healed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, for the last like 9 months, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. And so it ended with this idea of Jesus having authority. They were astonished at his authority that he had in the teaching. And then this is what happens. And we're going to get into authority next week, but this is what happens. Then he, that's Jesus, came down the mountain, and a great crowd followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And Jesus said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." This is God's word to us today, and I'm so grateful for it. There's so much in these four verses that Jesus can speak to us about. And after hearing the powerful and beautiful words of the Sermon on the Mount, getting to hear Jesus teach, now we get to see his teaching in action, what it looks like in this. And this next section of Matthew kind of takes us on a little bit of a journey. It shows us three healings and then a teaching. It shows us three miracles and then another teaching followed by more miracles. So all of these things reveal to us a picture of what Jesus was like, but not only was like, what he is like even today, because we know we just celebrated Easter, right? We know that Jesus is alive, and he is alive today and at work in our world. And that even in Jesus being alive, Jesus has great compassion. We see this over and over through the scriptures. Jesus had compassion on the crowds, and he has compassion on individuals. And we know that his grace and his love continue to this day, and they do mighty works in his name, and it's been unbelievable. So we have heard his teaching. Now what we get to do is we get to see his life. And I love that, because there's two huge parts of Jesus' earthly ministry that he had when he was here. One of them is healing. The other is exorcisms. We see Jesus healing people, cleansing people from diseases, and healing ailments, even raising people from the dead. And we see him casting out demons. And this goes along with his profound teaching. So by the time Jesus would get to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday that we just celebrated, many of these deeds would have been known. They would have been known, even though there is at least 9 times that Jesus commands those that were healed, basically this: you say nothing about this. And yet they were still known. The word still spread. Jesus' fame grew because of the twofold teaching and then practice. This is what Jesus did. He lived out his words that he taught. And this is the key to our Christian lives. We follow Jesus' teaching, amen? We follow his teaching. We desire to have our lives also line up with Jesus' life, that he lived perfectly. Jesus was known for his mighty acts and his mighty words, and we get to live those out. And so we will get into these as Jesus treats each one of these people, each one of these situations differently. And I love this, because in scriptures, sometimes we can think maybe Jesus was a magician. We wouldn't ever really say that, but sometimes we can think it. Healing is not a magic trick that Jesus performs. There is not one way or one method that heals somebody. He does something different almost every single time because Jesus has the authority and he was simply doing the will of his Father who is in heaven. So we saw at the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus and led Jesus throughout his entire ministry, and Jesus would obey. If we look in the book of Acts, if we follow the story of Christianity, we can see that Jesus didn't heal everybody. Not everybody that was around Jesus did he heal, even though he did heal a lot of people. And so this means that Jesus followed the Holy Spirit. He didn't just do what he wanted. And then this person that we're going to look at today is a leper. Right? A leprosy was a big deal in Jesus' age, and it's probably, today's version of it is called Hansen's disease. It's probably not necessarily the same, although some of it could have been the same. But it was a kind of a junk drawer diagnosis for contagious skin diseases of all sorts and kinds. And so when a spot, if you were in the Jewish culture and you found a spot or blemish was found and it was found to be spreading and infecting and then you could give it, the person would be inspected by a priest. And if found unclean, they would be removed from their home, they would be removed from their community and placed outside the camp or really outside, like in a leper colony or somewhere outside. So leprosy and skin diseases came with a major social stigmatism attached. It's actually awful. You do not want to be diagnosed with leprosy. You don't even want the hint of it. Like you would wear long shirts and covered up as long as possible because you knew that you would be sent out. If you were diagnosed, you would be put out of the community. It didn't matter if you just had a child. It didn't matter what you were doing, how important you were in the community. So how good or bad your life was going, it would not continue as it once was. You would be removed. You would be cast out. You'd be done away with. You would all of a sudden, again, it doesn't matter if you were wanted in the city, you would get this disease and then all of a sudden you were unwanted. What's that?
Singled out.
You were singled out, absolutely. You were unwanted, unwelcomed. You were shunned. Some families would deny those who were afflicted with these diseases. They would put them out and they'd be like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, this person? By the way, this still happens in Christian countries today where they think like diseases come in. I was in Africa in 2004 where this lady with cerebral palsy got up and spoke. And she said, there's a lot of you guys here today that have abandoned your families who look like me. And there was pastors that were saying, absolutely right. I haven't told anybody about my brother. I haven't told anybody about my cousin. I haven't told anybody about my son. And they would come and repent because they cast out those that were afflicted. And other families, though, would come and they would drop off food at the camp for their family. They still treated them as family to the extent that they could, but they wouldn't eat with them. They wouldn't eat with them. So you, if this was you, you would be excluded from all normal life in the community. Everything that you once did that was normal would all of a sudden disappear. And so R.T. France, a commentator on the book of Matthew, says, as long as this condition persisted, the person had no place in society and had to contrive to exist away from other people's dwellings. This is one thing that I love about the setup of this is Jesus' first two miracles after the Sermon on the Mount were performed on two very unlikely candidates, both of them who came to Jesus. Next week, we'll see that Jesus heals the servant of a Roman centurion, right? The enemy of God's people at that time, the occupying force, and Jesus heals them. And then in this text, we see Jesus heal a man who was declared unclean, who was a castaway, someone who was unwanted by society. And I believe that this is one of the keys to understanding Jesus because he shows no favoritism towards people. In fact, if this man came up, it would likely have been evident that he was a leper. And we don't see Jesus yelling at him to stay away, you're unclean, get away. Later in the Gospels, though, you know what we see? Jesus scolding religious folks, saying, you clean the outside of your cup, but the inside of the cup is dirty. Jesus told us he came to those who need a physician, not to those who are well. This is why I believe it's important to understand that we are broken, because if we are broken, then we can allow Jesus to heal us. Amen? If we think we're whole in and of ourselves, then we never need to have the boldness that this man had to approach Jesus. Maybe except, like Pharisees, to ask him theological questions or his thoughts about some of his actions. What those who think that they are whole act like, people who are broken do not. Whereas those who know that they're broken, they can approach Jesus like this man did. And this is a powerful thing for us. This man who approached Jesus did so with a crowd around him, knowing that this was astigmatism. He knew that he was not supposed to be around those crowds, and yet in his desperation, in his boldness, in his faith, he came before Jesus. This leopard's bold move took guts, took a lot of guts. It took faith and hope of a desperate man. And this guy, to us, he probably would seem a little crazy to do what he did. Like, don't you know you don't belong in this society? This is a man who is completely on the margins, no longer a part of the community, based on this affliction that he had. He was truly an untouchable. And yet, he was brave and he acted like faith. And as Jesus does, Jesus responded to this man's faith. This man's faith led him to bold, crazy actions, even socially unacceptable actions. This man was not saving face. He didn't wait for everybody to get away from Jesus and then pull Jesus aside and say, hey, I got this thing. It's a leprosy. No, he came to Jesus in faith, and Jesus responded as he always does to act of faith. One of my questions for us today is this. Do we have this kind of faith this man had? Do we have the boldness that is on display here to approach Jesus with this type of faith? This type of healing of leprosy doesn't happen in the way that this man wants it to happen. And yet he still comes and asks Jesus, do we believe that Jesus can heal us and he can cleanse us if he is willing? This word will that's used here, Jesus, if you will, it's probably a better rendering of it would be, are you willing? And Jesus says, I am willing. Let's approach Jesus and find out as this man did. Let us do that. This man, he didn't come and demand from God. He's not entitled. He's humble. We can see this. He came, and what did he do? He knelt in a posture of humility. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, I think, does one of the most remarkable things. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched this unclean man with people around him, saying, I am willing. Be clean. Jesus' willingness is followed by his touch. He puts his money where his mouth is. He puts his hands where no person in their right mind in that culture would do. Jesus' willingness to touch this man is a powerful thing. Jesus could have just used words, be healed, be whole, be clean, but he didn't. He touched the untouchable man. This would be so taboo in this culture, because this culture was obsessed with clean and unclean. What is clean? What is unclean? Jesus was not supposed to be around this man, let alone touch him. And yet, Jesus touched him. Jesus is willing. And are we this willing to submit ourselves to Jesus? Are we this willing to come and be bold enough with our garbage that if people knew about us, they would put us out of society too? Are we willing enough and humble enough to kneel before Jesus and risk everything for Jesus to heal us and make us whole? One of my questions is, do I have this kind of faith? I mean, if we did, I think that we would see amazing works, because Jesus, who is what, alive still today, and I'm not, so here's the thing, when I talk about this, I'm not talking about conjured up miracles or acts of faith that if you just believe hard enough, God can do this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something that is forced, and if it doesn't work, like then we have to find somebody to blame because it can't be God's fault. I'm not talking about something that's fabricated, where we have seen in some deliverance ministries, some healings are genuine, some are like they get somebody who's whole, make them pretend that they're crippled, and then they come out whole. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about genuine hearing from the Holy Spirit and following that still small voice into the healing that Jesus is willing to give us, into the cleansing that he has for us. I pray for this type of faith. I pray for these miracles. I pray for deliverance and healings, in part because as I look around in our community, I see that we need this kind of faith and boldness of Jesus healing and his deliverance in our midst today, in our community today. There are some problems that our community faces that I don't know another way out other than the powerful, like righteous and good act of Jesus healing and deliverance in our midst. At this, Jesus also gave a command. He told them two things, and they should strike us as interesting. He said, say nothing and go to the priest. Say nothing. And if we noticed, Jesus didn't say, be healed or be whole. What did Jesus say? I am willing. Be clean. Be clean. It's interesting because as he would have been deemed unclean, Jesus is saying an unclean would have been put outside. Jesus is inviting him into being cleansed. And Jesus is not, and Jesus does this all the time with leprosy. He doesn't say be whole or be healed. He says be clean. Jesus not only wants to heal this man, but Jesus wants to restore this man to community. Right? He doesn't just say be clean and go your way. And this is very important because when Jesus heals, he's inviting us into something bigger. And by the way, it's important to live out the cleansing that Jesus has for us, right? It's not enough for this man just to be clean and see that there's no spots on his body and come right back into the community. If that happened, the community would shun him because they knew about his affliction. He had to first go to the priest. He would not be restored without the process that the priest would do. And likely, this process would take at least 8 days. And this is if he didn't have to travel to Jerusalem, which scholars are unsure if they could go to the local priest or they had to go to Jerusalem for this cleansing to actually be declared as clean. So he would still be unclean in his context until he was declared clean by the proper authorities. And that's who Jesus sent him to, that being the priest. And we don't know, again, we don't know if it was a local priest or one in Jerusalem. But we do know is that there was a process that was involved. Jesus, in giving this instruction, was not trying to create a barrier or a mountain for this man to climb over. He wanted the man to live in the fullness of cleansing that Jesus had given him. In our culture, we don't have the patience for this, amen? Like we just want, make us clean, let us go on our way. We don't want to have to actually travel a distance or go through the process of healing and wholeness. We just want to be made. Like, I don't know how many times I've prayed with people that have been like, I just need God to take away this. And if he takes it away, it's like, okay, what if he takes it away? And then are you willing to walk through the steps that Jesus has for us to allow this being taken away from us? Because we don't have the patience necessarily, but we want healing now. It's kind of like a fast food type of healing. Like if we can just go get it, get on our way, and then eat while we're on the road, it doesn't matter about the hard work that needs to take place. This is not what Jesus had in mind for this man. Jesus knows, he knows the Old Testament, and he knows that Leviticus has devoted two entire chapters to leprosy. And it's not just those two chapters, but there's two complete in a row chapters on laws for leprosies and then how to be declared free from leprosy. Now, these chapters in Leviticus, they're not very short. They're not like 10 verses, 15 verses, let's go. No, there's a total of 116 verses on this subject that they would have to go through line by line, and you can feel free to go to Leviticus and read that on your own if you'd like. But what it says about us today and what we need to keep in mind is that Jesus said, go and submit yourself to this law and these rules. Follow this. And this happened in Galilee, right? So this happened in Galilee. Galilee was far from Jerusalem. And also they were in the wilderness. It wasn't even that close to a town. So Jesus, as he was coming down the mountain in the Galilean countryside, gave this man a free gift of cleansing from leprosy, but it is still going to take some work of this man that he has to go and be declared officially clean. He is clean, but now he must complete his restoration process, because that's really what Jesus desired for him, right? To be free of the skin disease, yes, but to be restored to community, absolutely. And so the same faith and boldness and guts that it took this man had in coming to Jesus to even ask for this, now he needs to have that sort of faith as he lives out and acts out to live into the freedom that this cleansing provides for him. If he is going to the priest, let's say he was going to the priest that day, this process would take 8 days. Now, if he had to go to Jerusalem, that would be an additional 2 weeks. So it could take this process could take up to a month just to be declared clean after what he had already done. And it would have taken some work. It would have taken some examinations. It would have taken some more faith to live this out. This free gift has some follow-up to it, right? There are laws and ways that the man, Jesus instructed the man, had to walk. Not to restrict him, but to give him the freedom, the life abundant that we sing about, that we talk about, that Jesus has given him. To be sure, deliverance or being made clean or being healed is a free gift. There's no question about that. But in order for us to take care of the gift that we've been given, and in certain ways, Jesus lays out a way for us to maintain the gift. Or to steward it. Or I can say this way. The gift that Jesus gives us, we have to take care of it. And Jesus lays out those ways for us. We must see that he has done this, believe it, and then stay clean. It takes some work so we don't fall back. We have to live in accordance with the free gift that is given. If cleansing is received, we got to make sure that we shower. Right? Just to stay clean, that we need to keep coming before Jesus. If healing is received, we don't want to go back on it. If deliverance is given to us, we don't want to fall back into our same temptations. I don't know how many of you guys have struggled with addictions, but I have in my life. And you know what? When I was come out of those addictions, I have to stay away from a certain activity or a certain crowd or certain triggers that I have. And it wasn't always easy. Mine was tobacco, and so like I would linger around people who would smoke because I would be like, oh man, I want it. But it was like a cartoon where it was like I was like floating towards the smoke because I was so tempted by it. I wanted to go back to that. Now, I haven't used tobacco in a long time, but the truth is I still need to maintain my distance from it because I'm still tempted by it. There are times that we need to put ourselves up and have restrictions. And again, they're not only to help us, they are there only to help us maintain. I know we don't, as a culture, we don't like talking about limits, but limits God puts in place for the good. The process that we have to go through takes just as much faith as the healing itself. We want to see it through to completion, don't we? We want to see it through till the day that Jesus comes back. We want to be found faithful until we see him face to face. When all we want from Jesus is healing or cleansing, but we don't want to maintain it, then we are making an idol out of healing and cleansing. Jesus isn't an idol. He is our God, and we get to follow him. He is our Lord, and so we submit our lives to him. And we get to take care that we don't create gods or idols, even out of good gifts that God gives, like healing. But we keep God's commandments that he's given to us. That we live in his ordinances, as the scripture would say, that we might we might need to do these things to walk in the fullness of the cleansing that Jesus has for us. Jesus commanded this man to walk in the law, to walk in the ways laid out by Scripture, walk in what is right. That is what Jesus is doing by telling the man to see the priest. Be restored. You're cleansed. Now be restored and walk in the light. That's what Jesus is asking this man. In closing, I want to mention this one other thing that Jesus said. See to it that you say nothing to anybody. It's fascinating for us, right? We know that this healing, we know about this healing. So obviously this word got out. Obviously this man said something at some point and people saw it. So the word spread. But I think it's important for us to think about what Jesus said to this man, because we live in a culture that likes to show everything. Likes to show everything. Every good that gets done needs to be posted and shared about, right? We hide the bad, of course. We don't want everybody to see the bad things that happen. But in Christian terms, we could even couch it in Christian language that's saying, hey, we want to bring glory to God about all that is good in our lives, and hopefully like we can be a witness so that some might come to him. But do we ever stop to think about if God wants us to share such and such a thing? Or do we just assume that he does? If he wants us to keep it to ourselves, are we open to that? Or do we feel the need to just go and post it or go on a podcast or do some sort of video? God doesn't show us everything that he's up to. Amen? We don't see all of his works. We can't see all of his works. Some might need to share more, right? Like they don't reveal anything. And they might need to share more. Some of us, probably me, need to share less. We get to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in this as well. Just because we can share doesn't mean that we're supposed to. Doesn't mean that we need to. So we get to discern what Jesus has for us. Jesus was used to doing things without others knowing. And I'll prove it here real quickly. From the time Jesus was born to the time Jesus appeared, most people agree that it was 30 years. And his earthly ministry, when he met John and was baptized, was around the time that Jesus was 30. If you look in the scriptures, both John and Mark don't even mention him as a child, and Luke and Matthew have very small amounts of what Jesus did in the first 30 years of his life. Was he still at work? Was he still the Son of God? Absolutely. Do we know what he did? Nope. We can speculate, but that's the best that we have. We have, and then in the last 3 years of Jesus' life, before he went to the cross and rose again, the scriptures still leave us wanting more. Does it tell us his day-to-day itinerary? No, it doesn't. There, we see certain things. We see certain patterns. There was plenty that Jesus had done that we, during those 3 years, that we don't know about. Has to be the case, because it's like 3 years into like 28 chapters of Matthew. That's not that much, actually. It still leaves us wanting more. There's plenty that Jesus had done that we don't know about. It seems that Jesus is far more comfortable with being anonymous than we are. Apparently, Jesus doesn't want everything known right now, although one day it will all be it'll all be shown. So let us discern this as well. Let this scripture remind us. Jesus has made all deliverance, cleansing, and healing possible. He does this in word, and he does this in deed, and his life, death, burial, and resurrection show us that he can still do this. So we're about to come and take communion and celebrate to this together, knowing that Jesus is willing. He is so willing that he gave his very life for us to make us whole, to cleanse us. So Jesus, we come before you. We ask that you will be willing. Lord, we also ask willingness for ourselves, that we can come before you and we can be willing for you to make us clean. So Jesus, come, let us humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen.